Welcome to a new episode of the It Feels Right podcast. Today we are starting off with a tip of the day to take advantage of when a team's stacking. We are going to go over some of the results from Houston PPA, a little bit of the US Open, and with Adam here.
Got some very intriguing matchups coming up this weekend in Southern California. So check it out. Lots of good information, lots of good breakdowns.
Let's get into the episode.
Let's go.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
Ladies and gents, before we hop into the show, I do want to talk to you a little bit about Selkirk's amazing line of pickleball nets. And whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, Selkirk has the perfect net for you. When you choose a Selkirk net, you're not just choosing any net, you're opting for the official net of the PPA Tour, where excellence meets professional play. With Selkirk's line of nets, you can play pickleball anywhere. Selkirk's range of nets caters to every player's needs, offering budget-friendly choices for casual enthusiasts and premium options for those with a competitive edge that are looking for more of the pro-level net. So either way, you're ensuring quality play for all levels, and I've got a Selkirk net for myself, and let me tell you, it's a game changer. It's all about playing on your terms wherever you are, whether it's the driveway or on the PPA Tour. So if you love pickleball as much as I do and we do here at It Feels Right podcast, check out Selkirk's pickleball nets. Get the freedom to play anywhere and everywhere and elevate your game with the net trusted by the pros. Selkirk's got you covered. If you're interested in getting a net of your own, go to selkirk.com/collection/nets, and we'll link to that in the show notes. You can also find this link in the description of the show. But let's jump into this week's episode of It Feels Right with Robin Stone. What's up, brother?
Hello, Robert. How are you?
Hello, Adam. How you doing?
What percentage of the time on these podcasts do you wear pants?
Actually, we're recording this a little later than usual, and I've already been like up and about today. So those days are 1 in 4, one week out of every 4. So the other 3 weeks, I'm not wearing pants. So 75% of the time, not wearing pants.
Yeah, I would say slim to none would be the answer for me in terms of pants wearage. Just wanted to make sure we were on the same page there, and it sounds like we absolutely are.
Yeah, and when you say pants, do you mean like that includes shorts, right? You mean like outerwear for your lower body?
Upper briefs. Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. That's correct. Just got it. So, you know, business up top, party on the bottom.
Correct. Correct. I think that's clearly the only way to do it. So. Yes, it's a good start today. It's a very good start.
So you had a couple good back to back. You had a PPA at home, which is had to be nice sleeping in your own bed, and then you got to go to Houston. Probably saw Mr. Papa.
There is one little caveat to having a tournament in your backyard. Yes, you get to go home. You get to sleep in your own bed, but you have home stuff to do.
Yeah.
So I would go work. I would talk some pickle 4 or 5 hours, and then I would go home and have responsibilities. When I'm on the road, that is less so.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, such is life. Not everything is 100% positive, but it was better than normal in the home state, about 25 minutes away from where I live. So
yeah,
that was pretty nice. And then straight from where I live currently to the old stomping grounds in Houston, and had a nice tournament this past weekend at Lifetime Kingwood, and then bam, straight to Southern California, and then St. George, 4 in a row on the PPA Tour. Pretty wild stretch, really.
Yeah, no kidding. This is a little off base in terms of not about pickleball, but about Houston. I watched a 2020 last night. I don't think it came out last night. It might have been an older one, but it was about this family in Houston. This guy named AJ Armstrong, who was 16 at the time, that allegedly murdered his two parents, and it goes into the case and like why it was probably him, but. Anyways, if you guys are interested in true crime type stuff, AJ Armstrong, go check that out.
Oh no, I watch that all the time. So that's from my sister and my mom. So we used to do that. We used to do that together. A little Dateline NBC.
Nice.
And there's something on Netflix too called What Jennifer Did.
And that's killing. Yep.
That's killing parents also. So I mean. That's tough stuff, you know?
No, it was so sad. The whole story is just, whether he did or didn't, I mean, he's in prison for life. Sorry for ruining the, you know, whoops.
Spoiler.
spoiler, but it's just sad. It's sad overall whether he did it or didn't. It's just, yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah,
it's a bummer when you kill your parents.
Yeah, they birthed you, they raised you. That's a tough break there, and it seems to happen. I don't know if it's just every time it does happen, there's a show made about it, but it seems to happen a little too frequently. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's a rough go.
What a segue. What a segue into Houston.
The real issue is, I mean, I'm less worried about my parents, but I have a child now. So that's a bit worrisome as technically on the table now. So
head on a swivel with AJ. Got to watch out.
That's right. Head on a freaking swivel.
Yeah, just to go straight into tip of the day, what players can use today when they go out and play is something you probably see a lot of, or I know you see a lot of while you're commentating, Adam. And this is more of an advanced tip, I'd say, even 4-0 plus, but against any teams that really stack, it is when they're trying to unwind the stack, which just means switch sides. You know, if you're returning on the right side, you have to get to the left side position. What I am trying to do as the serving team specifically is, one, I want to make it very hard for them to switch or get to the point where they're not able to switch. So what I've been working on a lot is a little topspin roll, kind of a shorter topspin roll cross court for the serve, which gets them out of position, makes it really hard to get all the way back across the court, and oftentimes forces them to stay. So if I know it's like a lefty-righty team, then I would like them to stay. I don't necessarily want them to switch on the run. If they can stay and I can get, you know, the lefty staying on the left side of the court and I can get two backhands in the middle, that's what I want. So, and I just, it takes some work because it's a higher risk serve. You're not just trying to crank hard serves. You're trying to do a soft roll cross court, and it has to be pretty precise. So I would say going out today, try the serve. It's higher risk, but also this is something you just do by yourself, which is practice cross court, practice right side serves, short cross court, rolling off the court. And it's super valuable, not only, you know, in gender, but obviously in mixed if you're a guy. So try that when you're serving from the left side of the court, a little bit of a tougher, because I think it's less natural to kind of hit a ball pushing off to the right, but you can do like a little slider serve that kind of drifts to the right. I would say that's even more advanced. So let's start on the right side and try to get that short roll cross court on the serve.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. And yeah, I think a lot of people are focused on the third shot, which is extremely important when your opponents are unwinding the stack, but the serve is where it starts. So yeah, don't hit T serves if you don't want them to switch, whether it's a lefty righty team, which of course staying is optimal. But those teams that even when it's two righties, but they are very established on what side they want to be on, using this is a good idea. And I also think paired with that short angle, go deep corner. Don't serve to the middle. Do not serve to the middle. So both of those are much better options than straight up in the center of the box or the T serve, which I've actually been seeing a bit more in pro tournaments. So yeah, no, I agree with that. And also when I'm on the left, I actually feel somewhat comfortable doing that inside out short angle serve. And I make sure that I let off on my grip strength.
Yeah.
So I loosen up my grip to like a two or a three, and I can actually kind of lead a bit more with my palm and let that paddle face lag behind a little bit and get that inside out shot. And that is, it's a good one. It's a good one, especially if you get them to stay optimally or just on the run that you can take advantage of with your third shot.
Yeah, there's no better sound than hitting a serve and hearing the non-returner say stay, or the returner
say stay.
But also on the like if they are switching, I think oftentimes the serving team gets super excited and they try to rip that third cross. When I think the better play typically is hitting a nice little soft roll, not soft necessarily, but like more of like a. More of like
hybrid.
a 60-65% drive that's just kind of rolling cross court and bouncing at the kitchen line or right in front is ideal because you're going to be set up for success in that scenario.
Yeah, drop drive hybrids are pretty legit at the higher levels, and I know lots of players are starting to work that in. And of course, when you were unwinding the stack and you were moving, even if you were contacting your first volley waist and above, it's still difficult. But when you fully drive through the court as a third shot driver, that first volley is going to be high. Yep. And it's not easy, but it's easier than if it's down at your knees. So when you take a hint of pace off, go extra spin in that hybrid drop drive situation, that's the happy place where you can force them. They are moving and they are hitting up on the ball. And that is very difficult. I don't even care if you're even as a pro player, that is very difficult to deal with, much less 4.0, 4.5 plus. So I think pairing both of those together is a lot to handle for an opponent. And you're probably going to get some stays, which is what we want.
Yeah. And when you get them in the stay situation, let's call it, you know, they're out of position. All you want to do is get into that point and start dinking. Just don't try to do anything just other than dink, because they're going to be uncomfortable out of position on the opposite side trying to dink. So don't need to force anything. You don't need to start like trying to finish the point. Just make them super uncomfortable. You'll probably get a pop up.
Yeah, no, I like this. And that sort of segues into some stuff that I saw in Houston, where I kind of made the reference about how we're about to get into clay court season. And I know people don't always like the tennis references, but
true,
just
though.
Deal with it. You
hot,
have to do
humid.
It. Yeah. Hot, humid, soft ball, sun's beating down. Not to mention, that ball is rolling on the court constantly, and when the sun is beating down, the court is hot as hell.
And when it's rolling at them, it's doing wobbles and like bounces on the rolls because it's not and round.
Right, and the court is hot. The court is hot, so it makes the ball even hotter. So we've dealt with indoor 50 degree weather. That's, you know, that's grass court season. That the ball's skidding, the ball is flying. So know your conditions, and also that plays into what kind of drops and drives you're hitting in these situations with unwinding the stack. How easy it is to exploit, and possibly in those softer conditions, you have more leeway to unwind the stack and get on your proper sides. And sometimes when the conditions are cold and you're playing players that drive well and put a lot of pressure, unwinding the stack is less of a good play, and you should be holding your sides more frequently. So adjust your strategies to the conditions. And that is not just for pro play. That is for middling play and higher rec play as well.
Adam, do you like the, because I'm thinking about things that could happen, and obviously the game's changing, the pro landscape's evolving, the equipment's changing constantly. Do you like having, call it the same ball for all conditions, or would it make sense for, call it Franklin, who's the APP ball and US Open ball, and Vulcan, who's the PPA Nationals or PPA ball, essentially MLP ball. Do you think they should have, call it a softer, you know, cold weather indoor condition type ball, and then a little bit of a harder summer ball based on weather?
Yeah, super reasonable. And I've heard a couple people talk about this in similar instances with tennis, is that you don't mess with the racket / paddle technology. You tweak the ball to the conditions and possibly soften it, deaden it as that technology rises and rises and rises, or exactly what you said, Rob, given the conditions. So I think having multiple balls or temperature over this, we go with version two, or we have A ball, B ball, and C ball given the conditions. And, you know, I'm not quite sure we're there yet, but I think that moving forward, that could definitely be something that you see. Especially when you get these 50 degree conditions plus the wild paddles, like that really, really changes the game. And I think that you just want to, having different seasons, having different conditions is fine, but if it gets too drastic and it's just a completely different game, then maybe you can run into issues at that point.
I kind of like that, as long as everybody's able to prepare for that. Like, I think that's cool. Like, I've thought about that a lot in terms of, like you said, the tennis reference, and we're going into clay court season. Like, I want to see, like, I think it's super fun having to adjust to different conditions. I think it would be super fun to have, honestly, a hardwood tournament, but like with all the top players, not because there's no, you know, court surface available, but just to do it and to have all the top players there. That would be so fun to watch, right? Because, you know, it would suit certain players and it wouldn't suit other players. And I think having different conditions and different things like that, where you can actually prepare, you know, you know you're going into a hardwood event, or you know you're going into, I mean, even a clay court event, something like that would be super fun.
Indoor basketball court, Rob Cassidy's top three player in the world. He's got to watch out for that, man. So different conditions pair with different skill sets. And
Puppet Master's coming back for that.
The Puppet, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's put in his 10,000 hours on basketball court surface, which was my first 6 months of play. It was almost exclusively basketball court. So, I like this a lot. And I did say that you don't want it to be like a 0 out of 100 to 100 out of 100 difference. But if you have some leeway in the middle to have a variety of different styles, and you get different point constructions and different styles of points, so it's not, you know, kind of the exact same all the time, you know, like those Arizona tournaments early in the year, going high and hard at the chest and the shoulders was the play. And this last weekend in Houston, that's just not flying. You just don't have the ability to do that with a soft ball. One, it's easier to get out of the way. And two, it's getting to that person you're attacking slower, so they're going to have better counterattacks. So it's all different kinds of styles and adjustments that the players make. And I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, and I think that's what pickleball needs right now is, like, you know, you're seeing with the PPAs, we're getting, I mean, you know, with Anna Lee and Catherine not playing, you're seeing some other results, some different newer results, right, in singles and doubles and even mixed. But we still have the problem of it's the same people winning most often. And I think what pickleball needs is variance, and I think adding in different aspects like that would create more variance, and it wouldn't be just the same tournament every weekend, even though I know they're trying to do, you know, different levels and majors and progression and not progression, but this would just be another opportunity to create more variance in the sport.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you want to have some form of balance. I don't know what the perfect thing is. I mean, people like winners that win, but people also like an underdog story. So having some balance there where, you know, you don't want to just make it a total shit show and have it be completely equalized where anything can happen. But at the same time, you know, having someone else pop up or having, you know, those top players be occasionally vulnerable to a different style or a different type of player, I think just certainly could add some intrigue to the sport.
Yep. And we appreciate everybody out there listening and watching. Would love to hear your thoughts on this in the comments below. Let us know what you think about different ball, different surface, and would that create more variety in the pro results? And yeah, just curious to hear everybody's thoughts on that. Adam.
I slacked. Oh, go ahead, Rob.
No, I just said I had a nice little, I had a nice little trip to Selkirk HQ, went to Coeur d'Alene.
Ooh, I haven't been there yet. I want to go.
Did a little commercial shoot for a new paddle coming out, which is exciting.
I hope they send me one. What is it? Can you talk about it?
I don't know if I'm able to talk about it yet, but it's softer than the Power Air, but much more powerful than the Lux. So it's an interesting in between there, and I've been playing with it, and it's really, really clean and really nice. And excited for that to come out. I don't know when, but soon.
I think an in between of those two is a very good idea. I mean, you've even seen like socks switch between the two, and they're so drastically different. And I think conditions played into it when he was using what, and also what discipline, whether it was doubles or singles. But maybe having that one extra step in the switch is a good play, because they're pretty different style of paddles. So you know, not having to go so extreme in between the two and having something in the middle makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people will move to it just based on it being that in between.
No, that's good. No, and so did you hang out with TM up there, Tyson McGuffin, the crime dog?
I tried to. He said he was in LA doing some stuff. I think
doing some stuff. What a line there from TM.
I mean, he didn't say doing some stuff. He said I think he was getting a tattoo done on his back.
I mean, I'm in LA doing some stuff. That's the life he lives. I guess, you know, just hey, yeah. doing some stuff.
Hey, this isn't the life I chose. This is the life that chose me. You know.
Yeah, and I would imagine it's a pretty place up there. Am I?
Oh,
correct?
Dude, it's my thing. I love the mountains. I love kind of forest, and it's right on this beautiful lake. It's really beautiful up there.
Yeah, I definitely want to go. I'm a PNW fan, and yep. I am definitely a mountains greater than beach kind of guy.
Same.
And one day, Selkirk, one day I'll get there.
Well, they need you for some instructional videos, Adam. That's true. No, you're done with that stuff?
No, I wouldn't say I'm done with it. I do like teaching pickleball, but I got my hands full. I got plenty going on. That's that's for sure. I don't think I need to add anything else in. I talk about pickleball on the weekend. Look at your pretty face for an hour on Monday, and you know that's enough for me, especially with MLP about to kick off.
Yeah, speaking of MLP, the little news on that front: saw some renderings come out of a new facility in South Jordan, Utah, basically the Salt Lake mm-hmm. suburb. Of a 30-court indoor, 6-court outdoor facility that's going to be for the Black Diamonds, which is something, you know, we've always talked about, is having kind of home and away matches and having teams have their own facility. And this thing looks absolutely sick. I'm talking indoor with like bleachers, you know, a championship court. It looks unbelievable, and I'm excited. I'm excited for that to happen.
Yeah, good pickle facilities really just make the trip and the tournament so much better, you know, and if it looks anything like those pictures, it's pretty exciting stuff. I know the Pickler is involved in that in some capacity, as they've just been kind of blowing up, putting up facilities everywhere. And my boys here, Rick Chan and Tim Parks, invested in that company. A little shout out to the SoCal Hard Eights. And If it looks like the pictures, that's going to be a place you want to play, because it looks pretty sweet.
And I know I'm a big advocate for indoor pickleball, but, you know, talking about the SoCal Hard Eights, it's one of the few places in the country where I think outdoor pickleball is just fine. Maybe we get a facility going out there.
Yeah, no, I like that. Mother Nature usually does not wreak havoc in Southern California, as the days are very consistent and pristine most of the time. So I love Houston, but I'm excited to make that trip to SoCal and enjoy this upcoming weekend. So
oh yeah, you got the, what is it, the LA Open?
Yeah, I think it's Los Cab. I don't know if they just changed the title or there was a switch. I have no idea, but
the Orange County Open. Either one is gonna be
lovely. So
yep.
And I probably should have, considering I'm commentating the event. I haven't looked at the player pool yet, but with four in a row, it makes a lot of sense that a handful of people skipped the second tournament, which was Houston this last weekend, and then possibly skipped the third tournament, because four in a row is pretty ridiculous. And I brought that up on the broadcast this weekend, how You have to be balanced. You have to have a hobby or something to do in between tournaments, because if you're just grinding every weekend, I actually think your results suffer quite a bit
when you're not
just sharp as a tack and kind of refreshed, you know?
Yep. I think it's different for everybody, but I think there's a very fine line of being like pretty dialed and like having a lot of court time to... I know we've talked about this, Adam. I remember a couple of years ago, I got to Beer City and I had played so much that summer, and I was just like, I don't care if I win. You know, it's not like that's not a good mental place to be, but that's kind of where I was at.
Yeah, no, there's always a handful of grinders that literally want to play every single weekend.
Yeah.
But for the masses, having taking a bit of time off and making sure you're fresh. Yeah, I mean, you're going into a very competitive event. You're a professional athlete, and you don't care if you win or lose. That's not optimal situation. Yeah.
But I don't think, I mean, and it brings up the point of, like, if you're just a fan of pickleball or an amateur that watches these pros, I think it's understated how mentally taxing a weekend is, especially if you're playing, you know, 3-4 matches, at least if you're going relatively deep in an event, especially. Like, it's so hard to, like, that, it's such a mental toll staying locked in like that for 3 or 4 days that I don't think people quite understand. You know, you always hear about, like, the physical toll and, like, what it's doing for your body and how tough that is, but the mental toll of being locked in and dialed for that long is incredibly challenging.
Yeah, I try to talk about it when I'm commentating a decent amount, because I think it is so important. So especially as, you know, there's not big gaps physically anymore like there used to be. So it's less of an issue if you're just that much better than who you're playing or that much worse. But when everything's pretty tight, some guy or gal is dialed and another one is, you know, thinking about the next 2 weeks off that they have while they're in the middle of competition, that's all it takes to sway it one way or the other in a particular match. So I'll continue to talk about that, and I'll stop talking about it once it's not very important and I don't see that happening anytime soon. So
keep talking about it.
Talking
about Houston. I've said in this podcast before, and I hope we find this clip and can play it back, but Donald Jung's game is perfectly suited to translate to Picky. And I think we got the first glimpse of it this past weekend in singles, mm-hmm. where he fought for a bronze, came up just short against Zhao Mei, 11-9 in the third. But even just seeing that, 11-9 in the third, lost to Zhao Mei, and he had many chances, is an incredible result. He beat Connor Garnett. He's quick. He's a lefty. He has a sick backhand. Quite a few errors on the forehand side still, but when that thing's rolling, it's unbelievable. But it was really, really nice to see him get his kind of first run and good result.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I did not realize that was the scoreline of the bronze medal match. That tight against Zhao Mei is legit. So yep. I would agree with you. And the pieces I saw of the singles game, maybe more lethal, but more errors and more sprays on that forehand side. But yep. Like his first step is very effortless. He just kind of splits and just explodes whichever way he needs to. Seems to be getting a hair more comfortable up at the kitchen line as well, instead of just full on grinding from the back of the court. And pretty solid win against Rihanna Valdez and Eric Palit in the first round of mixed doubles with Eva Radzikowska, and then went 3 with Tyra Black and Dylan Frazier. So that's, I mean, I know that's not a win, but that's a damn good team, Tyra Black and Dylan Frazier. So to have that 3-game scoreline is coming along. The man is coming along, and it's not too shocking.
Yeah, it's exciting. I think that was, you know, he's probably the most raw still out of the tennis guys that have come over up to this point. So to see him start to turn things around and get some decent results is cool.
Yeah, and I think it was Connor Garnett. I mean, Connor Garnett is legit at singles. So, I mean, that's a massive win. And I know there is one more. I don't have it dang pulled up. But either way, two great wins. Made it to the bronze medal match, solid early round play and mixed doubles, and you have to feel like he's going to gain a bit of confidence from those results, and, you know, pair that with his physical gifts, he could be an issue for a lot of players.
Yeah, and just nice to see. I don't know if it's nice to see, but it happened that Anna Bright and Rachel Rohrabacher righted the ship and basically cruised through the tournament and won in straight games in the gold medal match. So after that, probably shocking, I mean, upset of the year in North Carolina, like, to come back and right the ship and take gold in that fashion is, I would say nice to see.
Yeah, and Anna Bright, I mean, she's always kind of a psychopath out there, but it was extra dialed. Like, she was...
Yep.
Just trigger pulling, extra speed walking in between, especially after
marching around.
Yeah, actually, especially after having to pull out because of James Ignatowicz and his shoulder, which was interesting to me that he would, I mean, clearly in mixed doubles, your big role of the fella is to put the ball away, but that's a similar situation for James in men's doubles when Matt Wright's playing the right side. So it was interesting that he pulled out of mixed and played gender. It's not like, you know, he cramped up and an extra day is going to help him. You know, it's a shoulder injury. So I worry for him just because he's so into it and he loves putting in so much court time. And I think that overtraining was the issue for him. And when you have an injury like that, you just got to take time off and stop and let it get back to 100% before you go at it. So, extra fire in Anna's belly because of that. And yeah, it was a pretty quality final, even though it was three games. The quality of points was high. We had some technical difficulties from an internet perspective in the heart of that match against Viv David and Jackie Kawamoto, but pretty legit points. And those ladies, offense neutralizing, pushed off the kitchen, get back in from both teams. It was pretty good stuff.
What do you think the situation is going forward with James and Anna? I mean, I'm sure she wants to play and doesn't want, you know, the riskiness of having to pull out like that, because it's a big deal having to pull out a mix like that. She wants to play.
I was discussing with Dave, Rob, is it harder or easier to pull out of a tournament when it's your significant other that is your partner? And I personally have dealt with this a bit with some cramping issues that I had at the end of my career with Corinne, and it was kind of all fun and games the first time. Yeah, no big deal, all good. I found her a new partner. I think she played with Stefan or something like that. But the second and possibly third times, it was less okay for me to have pulled out. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic there that you're playing with your special friend, and pulling that trigger to pull out of the draw is it can cause some issues elsewhere. We'll just say that.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out moving forward. If I haven't, I don't know the entrance list this upcoming weekend or future weekends, but curious to see.
I mean, I don't think I didn't hear a buzz, or I don't think that there's an issue. But you know, I said this on the broadcast too, is like these teams, whether you're special friends or not, that have been together forever, it's like a relationship, and things that don't bother you early on might start to bother you when you played the 35th tournament with the same person or more than that. You know, it's like whatever. Like I use Pablo and Federico as an example, and I don't think I said it on the broadcast, but it's like, you know, now Pablo's like, Fed, do something. You're not creating enough offense. And Fed is like, Pablo, stop missing. You're creating too much offense. So, you know, so those things that, you know, tournament five, you know, they were just locked in and yelling Spanish stuff and whatever. And now maybe they're a little more perturbed at their partner that, you know, isn't doing something or is doing something too much.
Yeah, and that's a good transition, because we saw an absolute beatdown in that men's final, with the Johns playing Pablo and Fed. It didn't last long. I think the official time was 33 minutes or something like that, for a best of five. So, you know, when you're averaging 11 minutes a game, it's not pretty.
No, yeah, 33-4 is a rough score line, and I'm pretty comfortable saying that, as I have had my brains beat in by that team plenty of times. And they definitely squeezed the life out of them. And to Fed and Pablo's credit, they even in that lopsided affair, there was a couple times that they tried to get theirself going, and just a couple errors or a couple winners from the John's eye right after kind of squashed any momentum that they ever had. But and that is a factor with the slow ball and the summer conditions that favors the strategic and the structured play. And you know, after some kind of blow-ups by the John's eye from some great offense early in the year, that's going to be harder to do as we move forward.
Yeah, and just I took a look at that, the Los Cab, the LA Open mixed, and it looks like Anna Bright is playing with Ben this weekend. So,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Dave Fleming mentioned that, and yeah, that's Yeah, if she can, yeah, get that. What, James, poor James, man. He wants to be on court. Andre steps in and does work with his partners, and now Anna's playing with Ben. You know, he's just on the couch cursing, wanting to be out there. So not the easiest situation for him. But like I said, you just have to get it 100%.
Yep.
When you're dealing with the shoulder, especially the way he hits the ball, if he doesn't have full umph on his shots, he's just not the same guy.
Yep. Just taking a look at also upcoming some pairings, just some. We have the classic Spencer Smith and Chuck Taylor pairing. We have Jeff Warnick playing with Eric. Is it Palette? But Warnick is back. That's sick. We got Matt Wright playing with Thomas Wilson, which is a new pairing, it looks like.
Ooh, okay.
Which should be a lot of fun. We got Tyson McGuffin playing with Xiaomei, which should be new and fun and special. We got Tyler Lung playing with DJ Young, Kalka and Rafa Hewitt, which is going to be a pretty exciting pair. We saw Rafa and Will Howells have a nice little run in Houston.
I think old Rafa and Tyler Lung, it was on Grandstand. I didn't call the match, but I heard there was a lot of chitter chatter between the two lefties.
I'd never seen Tyler so animated. and it was like this, he sounded like Rafa. It didn't sound like himself. It sounded like, it was like two mimicking each other. It was odd and strange and lovely, and I'd watch that a lot more.
Yeah, I don't think that Lung is a natural born crap talker. So yeah. I think the mimicking or the trying to get Rafa with what Rafa does makes a lot of sense if he was talking.
He didn't know how to do it himself. Yeah,
right. So I there's plenty of other people. You know. Parlez-vous français, Brandon French. You know, that man is a natural born crap talker. So, you know, it's different for everyone, but it's nice to see that even if Lung wasn't in his natural element, that he was bringing it a little bit to Rafa Hewitt in that particular match. So
I'm a firm believer that pickleball needs this, man. Pickleball needs it. Pickleball needs the chirping. It's a small court. Refs, let it go. Who cares? But also, let's have mics on the court. Right. Yes. Like if somebody says, like, you know, if somebody's dropping F-bombs or saying stuff like that, give them a warning, but or a point penalty, whatever. But if I think we need to have mics on the court so you can actually hear what's being said. And I think viewership will go up because it's so entertaining. It has to happen.
No, 100% agreed. And yeah, I mean, you can't just frivolously drop F-bombs. You know, there's plenty of kids around and people in the stands, but all the other stuff, like
no Tyler,
like that's our spot, or this and that, or oh, this guy's garbage, let's go at him. You know, that's gold. You know, so I couldn't agree more, and I think getting some microphones in some special spots on court is definitely the play, and bring out, you know, some of those mumbles or those under the breath stuff that you can't always hear, we could hear. That's when it gets juicy. And I just can't imagine that a giant bulk of the viewers would not appreciate some of the things being said amongst the players.
Because it's good stuff, especially French. You got to put him on a stream court every time. And he needs to be incentivized with like additional pay, bonus pay based on how much he chirps. Like, it needs to be every point. He needs to get bonuses for like new original content. Like, dude, my favorite against Lung, when he was playing Lung, Tyler tried to do like a speed up off the bounce or out of the air, and it just hits, like, it clips the net and doesn't go over, and he just like stops for a second and goes, no Tyler.
No
Tyler. It's so good, dude. God.
Yeah, it is. And I'll say what is so good also is some of those pairings you mentioned. I'm going to take a little deeper look at that, but there was some good stuff on there. The pickleball is just a better sport when Jeff Warnick is playing as
or at least watching.
Legend. Yeah, even better watching. having a few adult beverages and heckling the players with well-timed comments is, but I mean, he's a legend, been around forever, super unique playing style. And regardless if his level has dipped, which it clearly has, you don't want to play that guy. He's so awkward, and he's
going to say stuff,
hits these angles. He talks crap. He has good counterattacks. You can't attack his body. Like, it's, It's just good stuff. It really is.
I'm hoping for a Warnick upset this weekend, which, you know, that's all we can hope for, right? That's all we can.
Or at least just don't let him lose 2-0.
Yeah.
Because even if he's losing and it's tight, he will bring it. But if you're getting steamrolled, you're getting steamrolled. So that's a decent little matchup too with Xiaomei and Tyson. I like Xiaomei's game. He's smooth. I think his doubles game's really coming along, and pairing up with Tyson, who's normally with Deckel. The two little guys can do some damage. They're both super solid. And Xiaomei's pretty nasty off the bounce. So he can fire on both wings, two-handed backhand, and of course one-handed forehand, and it's pretty good off the bounce, good spin, good deception, and his hand speed is not poor. So
one of the more impressive things that I saw with him early on was his ability to go fast to soft in hands and be able to go like a counter and then a soft reset, which is. Can't really teach that. That's tough. You have to have really nice hands for that. And yeah, he's had that from the get-go.
Yeah, pow, pow, and then block or take pace off is just, it's not, not a lot of people do that. And a lot of the electric hand speed players, it's just, especially early on, it's just fire, fire, fire. So that has been impressive from an early point. He has had that in his game, and I always took notice of that. Pretty dang good weekend for Tina Pisnik. Deckel Bahr been moving along in some draws as well. So, didn't necessarily play his best in the Championship Sunday, but man, to get to any form of semifinal or Championship Sunday match with some of these draws is pretty impressive. So
100%.
Shout out to old Big D and Tina Pisnik. She's smooth as silk as well.
And much better, and getting much better on that right side, which I know she's played the left from the get-go, and from the right was always a little sketch, but that forehand dink's coming along really well. I'd like to see her start rolling it a little bit more because she's just coming under it, which is more of a, I mean, you're not going to hurt anybody with that, right? It's just pretty, it's a pretty neutral defensive type dink. So adding in the roll, I mean, that's the cool thing, right? Is Tina's already so good and getting to Championship Sundays, and the fact that there's a lot she could add into her game is pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, I think the roll from the kitchen is a phenomenal place for her to start because the slice is there. When she's neutralizing power with those slice blocks, whatever, do your thing, you know, put it back in the kitchen, who cares? But in those more neutral dink rallies to find some aggression with the soft stuff, I think could pair nicely with the skill set that she always has. Because her and Leah Jansen played a quality tournament, beating Etta Wright and Megan Dazan in the quarterfinals, and then taking out Callie Smith and Lucy Kovalova in the bronze medal match. That's a legit result. So good tournament, good solid tournament. A few fresh faces. And of course, the established studs playing just fine as well. So it was a good blend in Houston, and sounds like from some of those pairings, Los Angeles is going to be pretty sweet too.
Yeah, I think anytime you have new pairings, it's super fun. We have Wyatt Stone and Julian Arnold also, so a couple Texas residents. So that good opportunity for Wyatt to play with Julian. Wyatt's played some with Xiaomei and had really nice results. I think Wyatt's a really underrated player right now, and I don't think he got selected for Challenger, did he? But he's right there and pretty solid. And as he gets better partners, I think, you know, we'll start continuing to see great results from him. And I picture him in at least the Challenger level here whenever things are starting to move and adjustments are starting to be made. He's right there.
Yeah, and I think this is nothing specific at all for Wyatt Stone, but I just think the skill set is pretty dang good. Pretty solid hand speed, pretty solid power. And I just think when you're a younger gentleman, just putting it all together and finding that proper mental space to be in and that shot selection and stuff just takes a bit of time. And I know he's been playing for a while, but I couldn't imagine being 17 or 18 and making proper decisions on the pickleball court, because I would not have. I think, you know, once he fully gets that situated and pairs that with the skill set, I agree. There's a good bit to like.
And I am curious just from the listeners on, because we, you know, obviously we go into, you were at these tournaments, you saw stuff live. Do you guys like these tournament recaps where we go into some of the results and our thoughts on them? Yes, no. What would you like more of? What would you like less of? This podcast is not for us, you know, in our conversation. Obviously, I like talking to Adam about pickleball, and we'd probably do this whether we were recording or not, but we do want to make it as valuable as we can for the listener and the, and you know, the viewer. So let us know what you'd like more of, what you'd like less of, and we will incorporate that moving forward.
Yeah, I didn't, I slacked on checking out the comments on the previous episode, but I'm gonna dig in when this comes out and try to respond to some of the comments in the some of the chat comments. So and I mean I think we're for sure going to have some form of pro recap because we love it, but do we go, would you like us to go in depth, or would you just like some surface 5 minute recap, or talk a little bit more about the pairings and some of the strategies that the players were using? So I think that's a good call, Robert.
I would imagine that's the case, because everybody listening is probably a pro pickleball fan and probably was tuned in and knows the results. But I think they'd probably be more interested in, and they can tell us, but, you know, the strategies, what worked, what didn't, just so people can actually incorporate it into their own game. Because I think at the end of the day, we all want to know how to get better at this game and how to improve and what we can go do today to get better. And I think understanding kind of the pro level game and strategy and concepts also helps, even though it's not directly of, you know, how to hit a better drop. But strategy is important, especially from the pros, and it translates well. I mean, it still translates to the amateur player.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if you look at some of the numbers of content creation, there is a really solid group of diehard pro pickleball fans that is growing. But the bulk of the more viewed material is definitely improvement tips for players. So I think having a little bit of both is great. And you can dig in and get good pieces of information from strategic pro stuff and pair that with some more technical whatever tips about some of the lower and mid levels. So yep. It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Adam.
Yes.
It's kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit compared to what it used to be, certainly, but the U.S. Open is underway down in Naples, Florida right now. We had singles happened on Sunday and we've got the results there. And Jack Foster, who's been grinding for quite a while now, was able to get the U.S. Open gold. He beat J.W. Johnson, who doesn't play singles all the time, but obviously very, very good. He was the one seed. And then I think Jack beat him in the semis and straight games, but like two hard-fought games. I think it was 11-9, 16-14 or something silly, deep in the second game. And then he beat Chris Hayworth, who is always seemingly getting to Championship Sundays on the APP Tour, which is tough. Very, very talented singles player. Beat him in pretty routine fashion. I think it was like 5-4 or something like that to take gold. So impressive stuff by Jack Foster. Shout out to him.
Yeah, and I know he's a younger gentleman, so it's not surprising to see some growth in his game. But he has been grinding for a while, like you said. So anytime someone has been around for multiple years and then kind of has a breakthrough or a raise in level, that's definitely something to notice. Because I kind of remember in my own game that first 18 to 24 months, there was lots of growth, and then it just kind of slows down a little bit. And it's, you know, you can implement a couple new shots, but you're not just going to have a massive skills growth after you've gone for it for a couple years. So, some of these guys, like, you know, whatever, like Deckel, or those guys that have been around forever or and have that leap. That's a great result for him. And he's been on the grind for a while on the singles court, and he likes running around. That guy does.
he doesn't want to hit backhands.
He just runs, man. He runs. And hey, if you're gonna need to run in your matches, you might as well be pretty fast. And yep. I think he qualifies for that. So
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think from a pro perspective, definitely that US Open draw is a bit thinner, but it's a celebration of pickleball, you know? So I think that there's a lot of courts, good amateurs and some vibe going on there. So, you know, it's not the same prestige from the pro level, but it's still a solid tournament in a place in the country where they love their pickle.
Yep, 100%. And on the women's side, old Georgia Johnson doing some damage, doing some absolute carnage in the women's draw. She essentially steamrolled through. I mean, I think beat Simone 4-4. She beat Jenna Hessert, who I think got bronze. She beat her 0-1.
Oh.
And then beat Fudge in the gold medal match, like 2-3. Just super routine. Georgia Johnson coming out firing on the singles court, which is cool to see, because she doesn't play. I mean, I guess she plays a fair amount of singles, but she, dude, when she's on, she hits the ball heavier and harder than nearly anybody.
Top five when she's on, top 50 when she's not. Correct. That was pretty generalized. I love
she
Georgia.
She was on yesterday, though.
Yeah, I love Georgia Johnson, but she will crush 19 winners in a match, and she will roll some balls into the tape as well. So if she ever just fully found that consistency, watch the heck out, because it's elite power, like elite power and hand speed with some funky technique that sure as heck works for her.
And I think it's easy to gloss over the fact that she's 16. Like, dude, imagine in 5 years she'll be 21. Imagine how good she'll be in 5 years. I think.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I had no idea some of those score lines. So that's pretty impressive from Georgia Johnson as well. So I love Georgia. You know, I haven't had the pleasure of drafting her, but I kind of wanted to multiple times. And if she ever ends up on an MLP team, or I'm calling one of her matches, it's a treat to watch. So it's good stuff. I always say she's my favorite Johnson. I like to say that right in front of JW. good for her.
I will say it was nice to see, call it the Johnson Five at Del Rey. Cause I obviously don't go to many PPAs anymore. So seeing them at the APPs, seeing the Johnson, seeing Tardio, Millie, it was nice. It was like, okay, some new blood in here. Now they're gone again.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're not going to see them there anymore as they sign that exclusivity agreement. So, it was a good run, solid stuff. And
it was here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, not a long time. And that's the way the world works. So all good. Yeah, I'm a pretty big fan of watching all five of the Johnson Five play. Even, the non-Johnsons in that group are kind of have some unique styles and mm-hmm. some aggressive play and a little bit different type stuff. So it's all good. And it sounds like I'm going to be calling quite a few of their matches moving forward.
Nice. You mentioned MLP. We've got the first event, I believe, in Atlanta. Is that on the front side or back side of the PPA? Do you know?
I think that it is on the front side. So I believe I am going there the 5th through the 12th for MLP. That's a whole week. And I did have that open and free before the announcement and everything. So I do think that's on the front side, and I think most teams, not all teams are there, if I read that correctly.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun. We got the SoCal Hard Eights getting there early.
Nice.
Especially for the first event, we're going to get some nice team practices in leading up. The eights always take care of the players. We got a pretty sweet Airbnb set up. Actually has a court at the Airbnb. Sick. So we're going to get some touches in and hopefully have a great start to the season, as I'm sure, of course, all teams are looking to start quickly.
Yep. Do you think obviously been a little bit of a layoff with MLP, a lot of, it was supposed to start in January, missed quite a few events, have had to reset the schedule. obviously been anytime you have a lull in activity, even though we've had the draft now and there's you know, movement and talk and all that stuff, do you think that MLP will be able to pick up right where it left off because of the format and people following the teams? And or do you think it'll have a little bit of a drop off and have to earn its place back and to call it a pickleball fan's life?
No, I think it's going to be just fine. Yep. So, of course, there was a layoff. It was multiple months. The keyboard warriors on the damn socials are, you know, talking some smack like they like to do. But I think once the ball gets put in play, the team format energy gets cranked up, I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be like nothing happened.
I agree.
Yeah, it's a great format. I love the pairing of the traditional and kind of alternating back and forth. I know there's more traditional tournaments than team tournaments, but when you have both, I think that is glorious. And I'm excited for the MLP season, and the players that love that team format are gonna be bringing it, and the ones that, you know, like the traditional format better, they'll just be playing a traditional tournament the very next weekend. So it's, yep, it really is an everybody wins situation, in my opinion. And I am very excited for the season.
And for those that don't know, what is the format of, how is it set up this year in terms of, is it a year long? Cause you know, last year we had, you know, a midway point of a playoff and kind of a season one, then we had a season two. What, for those that don't know, what is the format of MLP this year?
Yeah, so there's hopefully we're not going to have another draft. These are going to be set teams. You have a an option to keep up to three players year over year on your particular team, and there will be advancements from Challenger to Premier as a possibility. So I think it's four teams. I need to dig deeper.
But not relegation of where a Premier team could drop the Challenger, only Challenger to Premier?
I believe that's correct. So it's been a busy couple weeks, so I need to dig a little deeper into the technical parts as I was locked into that draft and now the PPA. So
but there's, yeah, I think, a regular season that ends with like a year end playoff. There's only one playoff, right? So it's like the best teams throughout the season go to the playoffs.
Yeah. And there's a, you have the possibility. So there's two postseason events. So you have the first postseason event if you qualify, and if you make it through that, then there's one final event at the end of the year. So, yeah, that's pretty much where it stands. I would say that, What do you think about us probably being good here, Robert?
Yeah, I think we're about good. I'd love to hear from the listeners if they believe that there will be any lull in the MLP kind of excitement. Because I'm with you, Adam. I think MLP, I think the product's the product. And I think it's the, for me as a viewer, not necessarily a player, but for me as a viewer, MLP is the most exciting product in pickleball and the most fun to watch. And I've said it many times, it's where if there are four matches in a day, back to back to back, you know, four team matches, I could sit from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and not get bored and watch the entire thing and be like excited the entire time. It's super fun. And I think because of the format that I won't miss a beat.
Right. No, that's perfectly well said. And yeah, I agree completely. So
tell us in the comments and we'll, Adam and I both will get in there and type away. See you soon.